We're up to Perek Shlishi, the third chapter of Hilchos Kriya Shema. Halacha Aleph. Hakari Shema, Rochet Yadav B'mayim Kodem Shiyikra. If you want to read the Shema, you should wash your hands with water before reading it. Higizman Kriyosav Alamatzamayim Kodem Shiyikra. If the time for Shema has arrived and he doesn't find water before reading it, Lo Yacher Kriyosav Yelach Lavake Shemayim, he should not delay its reading and go to look for water. He should wipe his hands with earth or a rock or a beam or other things that he can rub his hands against and read the Shema. Because we're afraid if he goes looking for water, he may miss the time and go beyond the time limit and thus fail to perform the mitzvah of reading Shema. Halacha Beis, in Karlo Beis Americans of Lo Beis Akise, you do not read the Shema in a bathhouse or in a bathroom, Apishim Batsoa, even if there is no filth there. Velo Beis Akvaros, Velo Batsada Meis Atmo, not in a cemetery nor next to a dead body. If you distanced yourself 4 cubits from the grave or from the dead, you are allowed to read. If you read the Shema in a place where you're not supposed to read, like a bathroom or a bathhouse, you have to repeat the Shema. If the rabbi, when he said that if you read where you're not supposed to, you have to repeat it, if he meant also, if you read the Shema next to the dead, that you have to repeat the Shema, then the Rambam has said nothing. That doesn't make sense, says the Ravid, and he should not have to repeat it under such circumstances. It is possible, in fact, that the Rambam did not mean next to the dead. He only meant by a bathroom or in a bathhouse, that that's when he would have to repeat it. It could be that he agrees with the Rambam, with the Ravid. Also, it's possible, since he transgressed the words of the sages who said not to read it by the dead, that they punished him and they said that he should read it over. That's what the Kesef Mishnah explains. Halacha Gimel, Beisek Kisei Chod Shulchan V'Daylon Nishtamish Bo, Mutulikros Kriya Shema L'Negdo, Avlo B'Tocho. A new bathroom that was prepared, but not used yet as a bathroom. You're allowed to read the Shema facing it, but not actually in it, even though it hasn't been used yet. Merachatz, a bathhouse, a Chodesh, a new one, Mutulikros B'Tocho, you can read even inside of it. If there were two houses, he prepared one to be used as a bathroom, and he said about the other, and this. So there's a doubt if saying and this is like he prepared the second one for a bathroom too or not. Therefore, you're not supposed to read in the first place, but if you did, you fulfill your obligation. If he said also this one, they're both considered prepared for a bathroom, and you're not allowed to read in them. The courtyard of the bath house, where people are standing still dressed, you're allowed to read the Shema there. Ravid says, Harav Kosav Vazmana Bebeis Akisa Letzluya Begavei Boi Vlo Avshita. The question, if you prepare a bathroom, whether you're allowed to pray there or not, that's a question that was not resolved. The Ravid says, you don't have to be strict there, like in the case of excrement, Dvuka Basandalo, where there's a question if the excrement is stuck to your shoe. Because it's possible that the Ravid holds that one is lenient in such a case. Why? Really, the setting it aside, the preparing it, is really nothing. The reason that it's forbidden is because of rabbinic decree. Or mishum bezayin, who? Or because it's because it's not nice. Even though technically it's not considered a bathroom, but it's not nice since it's going to be used for a bathroom. Who did boilon? That's why the question was raised. This is why, when in doubt, we can be lenient. Again, this will depend on how you learn pshat in the Gemara, but the Rambam has adequate sources to learn that there is a question also about the preparation of the Beis HaKise, if that's considered forbidden or not, and we should, as the Rambam says, be strict since the question is not resolved. Halacha Dalet, v'lo kriya shema b'vad, not only the reading of the Shema, el kolin yishu medivrei ha-kodesh, asalom b'beis ha-merecha to b'beis ha-kisei. Anything that's holy, you're not supposed to say in a bathroom or a bathhouse or a bathroom. Fila amra b'loshen chol, even if you say it in non-Hebrew. Fala amra b'vad, el fila lahar b'libo b'divrei Torah, b'beis ha-kisei, b'beis ha-merecha to b'mokam ha-tzinofis, b'mokam shish b'tso ha-meraglayim asr. Not only aren't you allowed to speak Torah, you're not even supposed to think words of Torah in a bathroom or a bathhouse or a dirty place. In other words, a place where there's excrement or urine. Halacha hei, dvarim shalchol, mutal amr b'loshen kodesh b'se kisei. Secular matters can be discussed even using Hebrew in a bathroom. V'chene kenuyim kugod rachum v'chanun v'neamon ukiyotzbehan, the descriptive terms that are sometimes used in describing God, like compassionate one, gracious one, trusted one, faithful one. Mutal amr b'se kisei, you're allowed to say it in the bathroom because they're not really names of God. Av l'shenim ha'shem sam yuchodim, the names that are specifically used for God. Those are the names that are not allowed to be erased. Also, you're not allowed to mention it in the bathroom. Or in the bathhouse, Yoshan, an old one that's already been used. If you had an opportunity to stop someone from violating a law while in the bathhouse or the bathroom, mafresh, you can stop him and tell him not to do it. Even if he has to speak in Hebrew and discuss Torah, because he has to explain to him that this is forbidden to do, in order to stop a violation, you would be allowed to do that. And the Ravid says, we never find the one compassionate one except in referring to God. And therefore, it would be forbidden to say it in the bathroom. The Kesef Mishnah brings in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. We find a pasuk, Rachum v'tzadik, compassionate and righteous, and that is not referring directly to Hashem, so he holds that this is, in fact, as the Rambam says, a description sometimes used about God, but not exclusively. Because the Mishnah also asks the question that it says in the Gemara, you're not supposed to say Shalom in the bathhouse, because that is considered a name of God, and the question is why the Rambam doesn't bring that down. Halacha Vav, Tzolas Adam v'Tzolas Kolavim v'Chazirim, excrement of a person, or of dogs, or of pigs. If you have the leather that you're using to tan the hides in the excrement of the dogs or pigs, or any excrement that has a foul odor, like as bad as these, you're not allowed to read the Shema in their presence. Similarly, in the presence of urine of a person. But you can read the Shema, the presence of the urine of an animal. A child who is so little that he still can't eat the size of an olive worth of grain, and the amount of time that it takes to eat a meal for an adult, which is the amount of time it takes to eat 3 eggs worth of grain. So if he's so little that he can't eat an olive's worth of grain in that amount of time, you do not have to distance himself neither from his excrement nor from his urine. The Ravid says, Harav Dakali is somach al Yerushalmi. The Rambam usually depends on the Yerushalmi. The Kano Somach here he didn't do so. There it says the urine of a donkey who is returning from a trip. Then it has a foul smell. You're not allowed to read by it. And similarly, the excrement of red roosters is also forbidden. The Ravid says that in the Rambam's version of the Yerushalmi, it didn't say anything about the urine of the donkey, but it did say about the dung of the donkey and the dung of the red rooster. But there's no question why the Rambam doesn't mention that, because he does mention it. He doesn't mention it by name, but he does say any foul-smelling excrement, and that includes those things, that if an animal does have particularly foul excrement, then it is forbidden to read the Shema there. If you had excrement that was as dry as clay, you still can't read in its presence. It's even more dry than the clay. If you threw it, it would crumble up. Then it's already considered like dust. And you can read opposite of it. If urine was absorbed by the earth, if when you touched it, it would make your hand moist, and you're not allowed to read next to it. And if not, muter, then it is permitted. How far does a person have to distance himself from excrement and urine in order to read the Shema? Arbam is 4 cubits. When do we say this? If it's either in the back of him or on the side, if it's in front of his face, he must distance himself till he doesn't see them anymore, and then he can read. When do we say this? If it was in an equal place in the house, if it was in a high place, higher than the rest of the house, 10 handbreadths, or lowered by 10 handbreadths, Yoshiv Tzadamakum V'Kare, he can sit next to the place and reach, or Nifsik B'Neim, because there's an interruption between them, it's in a separate domain. Now the question is, if you see them, is that forbidden or not? Is this referring when you don't see them, or when you do, even if you do see it? The Kesef Mishnah brings 2 different opinions about that. V'Hushalei Yigiel Reach Ra. This applies only if the foul smell does not reach him. So, in other words, the Rambam holds that a separate domain doesn't help if you still, in fact, smell it. If you covered the excrement with a vessel, or on the urine, even though they're in the same house or room with him, it's considered as if they were buried, and you can read the Shema opposite of them. If there was a barrier made out of glass, you can see through, between him and the excrement, even though he sees it behind the glass, you can still read next to it because it is covered. If you added 1/4 of a lug, that's about 3 or 4 ounces of water, into the urine of one urine production, you can read there within the 4 cubits because it's considered adequately diluted. If there was excrement on a hole in the ground, he can cover the hole with his sandal and read the Shema, provided that his sandal doesn't touch the excrement. The Ravid says, apparently the Rambam holds that what the Gemara forbids is if it's touching a sandal, the excrement that's in the hole. For the Machra, that's not the right interpretation. There's a difference between if it's stuck to a sandal, if it's merely touching. It appears that if it, according to the Ravid, he says, that if it's in a depression and it's just touching, it's permitted. From Doris al Gufatsov, also Basandalo, if he stepped on it and it's sticking to his sandal, Haisabaya, that's when the question of the Gemara arises. Balsabateku, and the Gemara does not resolve the question. Well, Achumra, therefore, you have to be strict about it. Again, the argument of the Rambam and the Ravi depends on how you interpret the Gemara, and it's possible to interpret it in either of these ways. According to the Rambam, though, the question that the Gemara raises and doesn't resolve is even if it's touching it, and therefore we have to be strict and not allow the sandal to touch the excrement. The Rambam continues, if there's just a little bit of excrement, like a drop, he can spit on it, a thick spit, that should discuss it till it's covered up, and he can read the Shema. If there was some dirtiness of the excrement on his flesh, or his hands were dirty from the bathroom, it doesn't have a bad odor at all, because there's so little. Oh, Yabshusan, or it's so dried up, but to Likros, you're allowed to read the Shema. The Fishen Len Reach Ra, because it doesn't have a foul odor. Mahasimim Koma, if it was in its place, if the excrement was in the part of the body where it comes out of, and Afa Pishen and Nearest, even though you don't see it, Kishu Omeid, if the person will be standing, Hol the Nearest Kishu Yoshev, if it would be seen when he would sit, Asa Likros at Chikanach Yofa Yofa, he's not allowed to read the Shema until he cleans himself very well. because the excrement is moist, has a bad odor. Many of the Gaonim said that it is forbidden to read the Shema if his hands were dirty. It's fitting to do so. In other words, even though according to the Rambam, the law is that you can fulfill the Shema even if your hands are dirty, but it is best to follow the view of the Gaonim anyway and not read the Shema until you wash your hands. The Ravid writes, Yerushalmi Dafkala Alter Sharok Omid Biovyo. Yerushalmi, it says that when the Rambam comments a little bit of excrement and you cover it with spit, that's only if you read it immediately when the spit is still thick. After a little while, when the spit thins out, the excrement is once more seen and would be forbidden to read the Shema then. And there's no reason to say that the Rambam argues with this. He would agree, and he would probably hold that this is self-evident. Halacha Yud Beis. Reach Rashi Yishlo Yikar Machik Dalad Amas V'Korei. A bad smell that has a specific physical source that you can see, a substantial source, you have to distance yourself 4 cubits and read the Shema. Pasuk Reach. If the odor stopped, so you must distance yourself 4 cubits, provided that there's no bad smell anymore. The Lo Pasuk Reach, the smell did not stop. He has to distance himself till the place where the smell stops, even if it's more than 4 cubits. If it has no substantive source, like for example, if someone passed gas, he distances himself to a place where there is no foul odor and he can read. Gerav Shari, a implement used to carry out filth, and a bowl used for urine, a urinal. Also, likos kriya shema connected. You're not allowed to read the Shema in the presence of these implements, even though there's nothing inside of them. They don't have a foul smell. Because they have the status of a bathroom. The Rambam says, it's not so. The Rambam says you go 4 cubits away from the substantive thing that has a bad smell, but not 4 cubits from where the smell ends. The Rambam says you have to go 4 cubits from where the smell ends. And then he reads, the Tanya Kavasit of Chista, because we learned in the Brisa like Rav Chista, the Sri Rehaki who holds this way. Adam Marava, Lace Hilchasoki Hamasnisa, when Rava said the law is not like this teaching of Rav Chista, Lava Hamra, he wasn't referring to this case, Elatzos Klom Chazir and Boynesinus Aros, he's referring to the excrement of the dogs and the pigs, that it's not forbidden unless you put the hides in them. But because of Rav Haigon Zal Beikar, and this is what Rav Haigon writes, and this is the proper interpretation according to the Ravid. Again, it would all depend on how you interpret the Gemara there, and as the Kesef Mishnah discusses at length, and the Rambam's interpretation is that the Lach is not like Rav Chista in this case, and all you have to distance yourself is 4 cubits from the actual thing, and not 4 cubits from after where the smell ends. Halacha Yud Gimel. So, Averes, if excrement is passing by, Kikoshahaisa Shatop Pneamayim was floating on the water, Asalikus Kenegli, not allowed to read the Shema in its presence. Pichazir, the mouth of a pig, it's so Averes Dami, it's considered like passing at filth. Asalikus Kenegli, you can't read where there's a pig. Achiyavim Renner Abamas until it passes 4 amos away. Even as the commentaries point out, if the pig is freshly washed and cleaned and laundered, it's still always considered like filth. Halacha Yudalid, Hayakorev Igiel Amakam Atinofus, he was in the middle of reading the Shema and walking, and he reached a place with it that was dirty. He can't simply cover his mouth with his hand and read. Layasik, you should stop. And Shiyavim El Samokam until he passes by that place. If he was reading the Shema and he passed gas on the bottom, Yapsik, you should stop. And Shitichla Bo Asha until the foul odor goes away. And then he returns to reading it. The same would be true if he's studying Torah. If his friend passed gas, even though he should stop if he's reading the Shema, in opposed to the Torah, he doesn't have to stop if he's studying Torah. He was reading the Shema in the house. And he is in doubt whether there was excrement or urine there. Perhaps there was not there. He is allowed to read the Shema. If he was reading in a garbage heap, but the stopok lo, and he was in doubt, and yesham tzo, in sham, if there is excrement or not, lo yikra, he should not read, and she yibdok, until he checks. Because we can assume that a garbage dump has filth in it, and there's a good chance that it has the excrement, and he has to check to make sure that it does not. But if it's a doubt about urine, even in a garbage dump, you are allowed to read. The reason for this is, as the Kesef Mishnah points out, that by Torah law, only excrement is forbidden. Urine is forbidden only when it's actually being released. But afterwards, it's forbidden only by rabbinic law. And this is why, in a case where there's a doubt, we're lenient. Just like you have to distance yourself from excrement and urine, and you're not allowed to read the Shema until you do so. You're not allowed to read in the presence of the genital organs or of nakedness. Until he turns his face. Even a non-Jew, or cotton or a child, and he should not read in the presence of their genitals or their nakedness. Even if there's a barrier of glass that separates, which in the case of filth is adequate because it's covered. But here, here the criteria is seeing, and he does see it. Therefore, he would not be allowed to read the Shema until he turns his face. The entire body of a woman is considered like nakedness. In other words, a man would not be allowed to read the Shema if a woman's body is uncovered. Therefore, you're not allowed to look at the body of a woman when you're reading the Shema. A man is not even allowed to look at his wife when he's reading the Shema. If the size of a hand, the size of a fist of her body was uncovered, you shouldn't read the Shema over there. The Kesef Mishnah points out that he says if a tevach of a woman was uncovered, that implies that we're talking about the parts of her body that are usually covered. But the parts of her body that are not usually covered, like the the hands or the face, that's all right. It's only if a part that should be covered is not covered that you're not supposed to read the Shema if you're there. Instead, you'd have to turn away. Like the Rambam said before, that if you're facing a different direction, even if you're next to her, but if you're not looking at her and you're facing another direction, then it would be permitted. Just as you're not allowed to read the Shema in the presence of the genitals or the nakedness of others, so you're not allowed to read in the front of your own nakedness. You're not allowed to read the Shema when you're naked until you cover your genitals. If there was a loincloth of garment or leather or a sack on his loins, even if the rest of his body is naked, he can read the Shema. Provided that the heel of his foot is not actually touching his genitals. In other words, no other part of his body, not only the heel, the Kesef Mishnah points out, any part of his body is not supposed to be actually touching the genitals, even if they're covered. If he was sleeping in a garment and he was naked underneath, he separates with the garment under his heart and he reads, because then there's a separation between his heart and his genitals. By having the garment below his heart and covering his genitals, he can read, whereas if he's totally covered with the garment, since there's no separation between the genitals and the heart, he may not read. Like the Rambam says, he shouldn't make a separation by his neck, the yikra, and read. Because his heart would be seeing the genitals. That's the expression used, that there's no separate covering over them. It's like someone reading the Shema without a belt. If two people were sleeping in one garment, each person is not allowed to read, even though he covers under his heart, until a garment separates these two people, so that the flesh of one shouldn't touch the flesh of the other from his waist on down. In other words, if the flesh below the waist is touching, even though they're covered and there's a separation between the heart and the genitals, you're not allowed to read the Shema. As the Kesef Mishnah points out, if they're touching above the waist, then that's not considered Erva, and that would not be forbidden. If a man was sleeping with his wife, or his little children, so even if they're sleeping together and they're naked under the covers, they're like his body, and he doesn't feel them or get aroused by them, and it is permitted. Therefore, even though his flesh is touching theirs, all he has to do is turn his face, cover up under his heart, and read the Shema. If he's facing them, however, it would be forbidden. Halacha Yutez, until what point are they considered children concerning this matter? Until a boy is 12 in a day, then a kevu basachas esrei shana v'yomechad, and a girl 11 in a day. In other words, 1 year before bar or bas mitzvah. V'ushei tavnisim k'tavnis gedolim. This is if they are mature like adults. Shadayim nechonu sarayach atzomeach. If the girl already has breasts, and the child, either boy or girl, has the pubic hair already. V'achakach v'yikra. After that point, if they are 11 for a girl or 12 for a boy, even with his own children, lo yikra should not read. And shetafsik tals b'neim until he has a garment separating between them. If they didn't have their developed breasts or the pubic hair, Kori Marahan be clear of Basar, he can read even though they're touching, their flesh is touching. He does not need an interruption. Achi Azachar ben Yud Gimel Shana, till a male is 13 years old, Yomechad in a day, and a Kiva Bashnimasir Shana Yomechad, and a girl is 12 in a day. So at that point, once the boy is bar mitzvah, the girl is bas mitzvah, then there must be a separation between them, and if there is not, he may not read the Shema.